And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Well, we are approaching Christmas, and I want to say again, Merry Christmas to all of you. Happy New Year, just in case you don't get to hear my voice between now and Christmas or the New Year, although I will have another program on, two more programs on before the New Year comes in. One, as a matter of fact, I've got a program that's going to air on Christmas Day, believe it or not. Yes, on the 25th. And I'll have a special for you for that day. But I'm also going to be, that'll be the last program of the year, the last podcast of the year. And then the next one will air for you on the 1st of January, on the first day of the week. So I have two special programs for you for those. I want to say, again, as always, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support of American Family Radio. I never tire of saying that, folks. And of the American Family Association family of ministries, related, supported, and so forth, we couldn't do any of it without your support. So thank you very, very much. I hope you're about to enjoy, already in caught up in the season, I hope you're about to enjoy a very wonderful Christmas. I'm preaching a series during the Christmas season called Christmas, A Season of Revelation, A Season of Revelation. And I'm using as my primary text where Simeon, the prophet, goes in and says that this child will be a revelation of light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And I want to talk about a season of revelation. So if you would like to get that, you can check that out on my Facebook page, E.W. Jackson SR, or E.W. Jackson for America. I think that's the actual official name of the page. But I think E.W. Jackson SR will get you there. And you can check it out on the, the Facebook page. It is also on our websites, standamerica.us, thecall.org. I'm live streaming my sermons, by the way, at about 11:15 every Sunday morning. And so if you want to check it out that way, live stream, maybe you're one of those people who can't get out to church, or you don't have a church home to go to yet where you are really going to hear the Word of God, check us out there. By the way, on January the 20th, my church sponsors, in behalf of our school, the Maximum Potential Christian Academy, sponsors a Martin Luther King Leadership Breakfast this coming January 20th, 2025, will be the 25th anniversary of our Martin Luther King Leadership Breakfast, 25 years. And let me just say for all of you, we conceived this breakfast as a unifying event. And so it's not a black thing. It's not a, it is an American thing. Maybe that's the best way. It's an American thing. We honor our first responders, police, firefighters, sheriff's office. We honor people from the business world, the education world, the ministry world, the medical world. So we are really, I don't believe you need DEI. America is a diverse nation. We are the most diverse nation on the face of the earth, frankly. You don't need any of this DEI nonsense, diversity, equity, and inclusion. You don't need it. We are a diverse country. Just let people pursue their dreams. Let them pursue their vision. Let them fulfill their potential. And everybody will be where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to do. If we do what Dr. King's primary dictum was, honor one another, respect one another, judge one another, and I mean in the broadest sense, not, you know, but judge one another, not by the color of our skin, but the content of our character. And that's what our breakfast is all about. It is distinctly Christian. There's one other event in our area, but it's not at all Christian. In fact, they're celebrating all the gender nonsense as part of their deal. and we don't. We are celebrating decent leaders in our community who are making a difference, and we're doing it all from a Christian perspective. And everybody understands that, and there's no compromise with regard to that, because that's the way the Lord gave it to me, and that's the way we're keeping it. However, I said all that to say, if you are listening right now and you're in Virginia, in the Virginia area, the Hampton Roads area, or within an hour or two, or for that matter, even if you're up in Northern Virginia, I know some of you hear that, and you're looking for something to do that day, or maybe you're down in our area that day, or you're going to be there, tickets are only $35. For those of you who want to bring people with you, and maybe they don't have the $35, we're going to have some complimentary tickets as a result of our generous sponsors for the event. Usually about 300 people show up. And once we have given the count, of course, that's it. We can't get any more people in. So if you hear this, you're interested in it, get in touch with me, ewjackson@ewjackson.com. Very simple. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. No, don't use that. Use this address, MLK Breakfast, just like it sounds. Use the letters, don't spell his name out. MLK Breakfast at thecalled.org. MLK Breakfast at thecalled.org. We're celebrating what I really believe Dr. King truly represented. He represented unity for this great nation and love for one another. I have to remind people that at the great speech that he gave on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, he did not call for the overthrow of America as a wicked nation. He called for the fulfillment of America's founding principles. And as I've said many, many times, forgive me if this seems a bit too repetitious, but Barack Obama said we want to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And I say, no, we need to restore the fundamentals of the United States of America. I'm calling this period over the next 4 years the Great Restoration. The Great Restoration. Because I really believe that that's what we must be about, restoring those foundational principles and ideals that made America the greatest nation in the history of mankind. So if you'd like to come and be a part of that, just get in touch with us at mlkbreakfast@thecalled.org. Just like it's sounds, thecalled.org. And you can look up thecalled.org, go to the website, and you'll see information about it there, and also on the Called Facebook page. All right, we got a lot to talk about today. Let's get to it, shall we? First, right out of the bat, right off the bat, I guess I should say, is this shooting that took place in Madison, Wisconsin. Let's talk a little bit about that, because there's some things that need to be said about that that nobody else is saying. And I always like to try to raise issues for you all that nobody else is going to talk about, or that I've certainly heard no one talk about. And I've heard no one talk about this. According to my research, a study of 56 school shootings showed that 82% of school shooters were either from broken homes or unstable, dysfunctional homes. In other words, there might be a mother and father there, but there's abuse going on. There's some kind of weird stuff going on there. 82% come from effectively dysfunctional homes. So what about the other 18%? Well, obviously, there's no accounting for human behavior, right? There are people in a family where you can have five kids. Let's make it six to make it even. Six kids. All six of them raised essentially the same way. One or two or three or whatever it is, out of the six, go off the path and go do something crazy, end up in jail, whatever. And then the others develop a trade, go to college, do something significant, run for, they do something decent, honorable, something that serves the community, and they live law-abiding lives. There's no accounting for that. You can't explain that. However, most of the people who behave dysfunctionally were raised dysfunctionally. It's that old saying, hurting people hurt people. That's what they know. And they're simply repeating what they know, what they've been raised with. They've been raised without guidance. They've been raised without discipline, or they've been raised without any sense of respect for the authority of a father in the home. They're angry. They're bitter. They feel abandoned. They feel neglected. They feel abused. And they go out and take it out on society at large. Now, we don't know the background of this 15-year-old girl. And that's how old she is, 15 years old. We don't know her background. We don't know what her family's like. Her name is Her name is Natalie Rupnow. She calls herself Samantha. So, first and foremost, of course, I should have said this right out of the box. But I should have said this right away. We pray for that community. We pray for that school. We pray for those children, those students in the school, those teachers and staff, those parents, because this will affect them for the rest of their lives. And this is not to mention the people who've lost their lives. And right now it appears there are only two, other than the shooter who killed herself, only two who lost their lives. And at first it was three lost their lives, then they upped it to five, and then it's now back to two, and the shooter. So the numbers have been kind of all over the place, but I think we've settled into, if I'm not mistaken, two dead, shooter suicide, and I think four wounded. I think two in critical condition, if I'm not mistaken, two already at home. They've already left the hospital. Don't hold me to any of those exact numbers, folks, because they keep changing them, but I'm pretty sure that's where it's settled right now. So we pray for all of those folks who've been affected by this. So look, the first thing the left is going to do, of course, is talk about guns. Somehow we need more gun control. We need more laws. But criminals don't obey the law. So I don't care what kind of law you pass. It is not going to affect the criminal who could care less. But this is where they go. Here's the reality. The reality is that the problem is the human heart, not the metal gun or the polymer gun or the ghost gun, whatever it happens to be. That's, I understand she had a 9mm. I don't know what kind of 9mm. People say 9mm, not like that's supposed to be a brand, but that's simply the caliber that the gun fires. But we don't know how she got it. We don't know. We just don't know anything about the situation in that regard. But here's what we know. She was in violation of the law to have it. So if someone participated with her in getting that gun to her, they are in violation of the law too. I don't know whether any adults will be found culpable in this. In other words, in somehow facilitating her having access to the weapon. And so those adults could be in trouble, because we're having prosecutors now bring charges against adults who behave negligently or recklessly with regard to the safety and securing of their weapons, and allow some young person, some underage person, to gain access to it, who then goes out and kills other people. So, but again, we at this stage, we just don't know. There are two other things that we don't know anything about, but rumors have surfaced, and we don't know whether these rumors are true or what more will come of it. One rumor, of course, is that she wrote some kind of manifesto. I mean, who knows, by the time you hear this, which is only hours from the time I'm taping it, by the time you hear this, I mean, that may be out. Right now, all we have is a rumor that she wrote some kind of manifesto. But even if she did, would we see it? We didn't see whatever was written by the shooter at Uvalde. We didn't see that one. So this stuff of withholding information from the public, it really disturbs me. It is the nature of a free society that the citizens who are the sovereigns of this nation deserve to have any information available to us which does not threaten our national security. We don't need to be treated like infants. We don't need to be treated like children. Oh no, that's too much information. They really can't handle that. We can handle it just fine, thank you very much. And the people who don't want to handle it, they don't have to bother with it. They can avoid it, they can ignore it. But if somebody is writing manifestos, for example, and we don't know this because it hasn't been released, if somebody's writing manifestos saying all the Christians need to die because they're transphobes and they're homophobes and they're whatever phobe, and they need to die, we need to take them out, we need to go into their schools and their churches and kill them. If somebody's writing that stuff, the public needs to know. Christians especially need to know, but the public needs to know that. Keeping this stuff back makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So even if there is a manifesto, would we ever see it? Would we ever have access to it? Because they didn't give us access to the one that was clearly written by the shooter in Uvalde. So our prayers go out to these folks. And, oh, that's right. I said there were two other things that had not been verified. The other is potentially that this young woman was transitioning. She thought she should be properly a man, and she was making a transition, and therefore was angry with the world and angry with the Christians, because the Christians, of course, teach against this stuff because the Bible teaches against it. We don't teach against it because we don't like homosexuals and we don't like gender-confused people. We love them. We pray for them. We teach against it because the Bible teaches against it. So we don't know, again, whether in fact she was one of those kids who is transitioning, receiving what, who knows what kind of hormones. And, you know, I got to thinking about this. If it turns out that she is transitioning, what kind of hormones are they injecting this woman and this girl? And what effect could that have on her? Because, folks, this is new treatment, injecting people with a bunch of hormones to try to change their gender. This is brand new. It's not something that we've been doing for decades, and we understand all that entails, the after effects and the side effects. And we don't know anything virtually about all the potential consequences of this Frankenstein-like madness, because that's what it is. We don't know yet. If indeed she was transitioning, could that have been a precipitating factor in her aggression, for that matter, in the one in Uvalde? I mean, we don't know. That's why it's so important for information to flow freely, rather than keeping the public in the dark. You know, we know a lot more about COVID and how to deal with it now because so much has come out publicly. Had it been up to the elites, we would have known virtually nothing. We would still be in the dark. And we'd still be thinking that the vaccine now was the be-all and end-all, the so-called vaccine, but the shot, it was the be-all and end-all. You get that and, you know, and listen, you're a super person and Superman, Superwoman, you don't have to ever be concerned about it. We could still be believing that garbage. We know it's not true now. But we can still believe it's true. Had information not gotten out to the public, of course, confirming all of our worst suspicions. So that's the shooting that just took place in Madison. Like I said, we pray for the family. And by the way, we need to harden these targets. And by harden, I mean whatever it takes, whatever it takes. One of the things, in my view, we need to do is in any school institution, there needs to be somebody in that institution who is trained in the use of firearms. And I don't simply mean target shooting. I mean they need to have some dynamic training. What do I do in an emergency? How do I deal with a potential shooter? Somebody who can carry, does carry in that school, and is trained to deal with a crisis should it arise. Now, sad that we have to think that way about churches and schools, but we do. That's the world we live in. So I trust that I know in my church, as soon as I saw this, of course, it's not the first one we've seen. I've been meaning to do some training around potential crisis, a potential crisis of somebody coming into the church with the intent to harm me and harm the congregation. We're going to schedule that now and get that done, because I realize I can't keep putting that off. I mean, God forbid that it ever happens. You know, we all think, well, that happened over there. It happened over there, but that's not going to happen to me. We don't say it necessarily, but that's the way we think. But you know what? The people at Abundant Life Christian School probably thought the same thing. Well, it happened in Uvalde, and it happened over here, and it happened at Columbine. It's not going to happen to us. And now it's happened. So we need to be ready in the future and watching to see what other information emerges. Okay. I wanted to talk about something that is a little bit sensitive, but I know that you all will understand it. I voted for Donald Trump, supported Donald Trump, ran ads in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Georgia for Donald Trump, particularly into the black community, trying to help him win more black votes. And we succeeded in doing that. At least we were pitching in there helping. I'm not going to try to take credit for all of it, but we certainly had an impact. We ran 900 ads. So I just, this disclaimer in advance, I mean, I am for Donald Trump, okay? I wouldn't do that if I weren't. However, there is, in what is going on in our country today, a role for you and me and the American people, and particularly Christians, that Donald Trump cannot fill. You and I are going to have to fill it. And let me give you a couple of examples of why I say this first, and then I'll get into the particulars. You all realize that since Roe v. Wade was overturned, we don't have fewer killings of unborn babies. We have more. Yeah. The numbers increased because the use of chemical abortions has dramatically increased. And by the way, even in states like Texas, where the use of a chemical to kill an unborn baby is banned, and it's against the law to ship or sell into Texas the chemicals needed to perform that abortion, people are cheating and basically skirting the system in order to get the job done, in order to kill that unborn baby. And yet we have an administration that right now has taken the view that, and has said in effect, we're not interested in a national ban on abortion. Well, here's where I differ with Donald Trump. We should be. We should be. And I know we can't have one overnight. I know we can't have one next month, next year. And of course, to give the benefit of the doubt to Donald Trump, who knows? He may be playing strategy here. 2 years down the road, he may be singing an entirely different song, because we know him. He's got a way about him of kind of throwing off his adversaries and kind of putting them to sleep until it's too late. So who knows? But on face value, I have to say, we need to become a pro-life culture, and that is not going to happen with statements like, well, you know, we turn it over to the states, let each state decide. Look, when you cross from one state into another, how would you feel if a public official of some kind walked up to you and said, oh, you just came into Maryland from Virginia? Yep. Okay, boom, shot you dead. Well, wait a minute, you can't do that. Oh, no. In Maryland, we don't recognize the right to life. We know you recognize that in Virginia. We don't recognize it here. Of course, you'd say, well, you're insane, and we're going to lock you up for the rest of your life for killing an innocent person. You don't have the ability to do that. And yet, we want to say it's a state-by-state decision whether an unborn baby should live? I don't think so. It's not a state-by-state decision. The right to life, the Founding Fathers said, is a God-given right, and therefore that right cannot be forfeited by any politicians who say, well, it just depends on what the state thinks. No, it doesn't. Because God has already spoken, and the Constitution of the United States has already spoken, which says we cannot be deprived of life or liberty or property without due process of law. That baby's not being given any due process of law. That baby's being given a summary execution. So, you and I, as Christians and as pro-life people, have got to take a stand with our congressmen, our state senator, our state representative, everybody in our community, our school boards, our city councils. We got to let them know that we want to see our state, as well as our country, become a pro-life culture. A pro-life culture where everybody understands that killing an unborn baby is wrong, and that debate is over. We don't even have that debate anymore. We look back nostalgically and with some chagrin and disappointment. Oh, you mean there were actually people who believed that killing an unborn baby was okay? Oh, yeah, lots of them. They were proud of it. They thought it was a great thing to do. What? I mean, I could just see the next generation, the generation thereafter saying, what? People actually believe that? Yeah, son. Yeah, daughter. They did. But thank God, through some courageous patriots of that day who simply stood up for the truth and would not relent, we finally figured it out, that it was wrong and that we should not be putting to death an innocent unborn baby who's done nothing to anyone, even if that baby is the product of rape or incest. That baby has done nothing to anybody. And you can't kill that baby because somebody else did something that was wrong in order for that baby to be conceived. The baby didn't do anything wrong. Why are you killing the baby? So we're going to have to pray for Donald Trump, pray for his Christian maturity, pray for the people around him, and pray that God will open doors of opportunity for us to be able to speak to him, to speak to him directly or indirectly to people who he has around him and say, Mr. President, this is wrong. Don't do this. You don't want to walk down that road. Because the born-again, Bible-believing, biblical worldview, pro-life Christians all over this nation turned out to vote for Donald Trump. I dare say probably 99% of born-again evangelical Christians voted for Donald Trump. So we need to speak into his ear and into his heart, Mr. President, we have got to become a pro-life culture. We have got to become a culture that protects and defends the life of unborn children. See, I think he'd listen. But somebody who's not afraid has got to say to him, Mr. President, no, Mr. President, that's wrong. Sir, that's going to get you in trouble down the road. So this is more than a state's rights issue. This is really a human rights issue, the human being the baby. And you don't get to kill it because it's inconvenient. A similar thing happened during his press conference yesterday. He was asked about TikTok, and he said, I have a soft heart, I think was the word phrase he used for TikTok. I have a softness in my heart for them, but something to that effect. And I thought, I don't know why. Well, he said he won the youth vote by 34%, but he didn't win the youth vote by 34% because of TikTok. Now, maybe they aired his spots and whatnot. I didn't see anything from the president on TikTok. But then again, I don't watch it very much. I do have my programming now. It goes on there. But until the law passed that required TikTok to divest of any Chinese ownership, I was having nothing to do with it. I don't care how big the audience is. I wasn't. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? I wasn't doing it. I'm on TikTok now. Probably don't have but a handful of followers, but I'm on. Because now that they have been ordered by law to be divested, I can feel comfortable being a part of it. Now we just got to kick them out of the country. Get them completely and totally out of TikTok. Because they're not out yet. They've sued, trying to prevent the order that they divest of TikTok. But I hope the Supreme Court does what characteristically it has done, which is when it comes to matters of national security, the Supreme Court refuses to weigh in. Because they rightly believe that's not the purview of the Supreme Court. And we ought to leave the national security interests of the United States of America in the hands of the chief executive backed by the House and the Senate. Now, that's the way it ought to go. We'll see which way it actually does go. I've got several different directions I can go with here, but let me get a little footnote out of the way. Y'all remember this guy, Andrew McCabe? By the way, and I don't say this just for your sympathy, although in this case I'll take it. His wife was running for state senate up in Northern Virginia. He's another one of these, a family of federal bureaucrats living in Virginia. Please, Mr. President, President Donald J. Trump, please deliver these people to other parts of the country. Scatter them around so that they stop wreaking havoc here in the great Commonwealth of Virginia. Please, Mr. President, we would be ever so appreciative. Andrew McCabe has got a lot to say about the whole gun ownership issue. You know, I think if I were Andrew McCabe, I'd hide my face in disgrace and pray every moment to God to forgive me and to repent. Because this man, he knows, they all know. They were searching, they were looking, they had a magnifying glass and a pair of tweezers trying to find anything they could against Donald Trump. And by the way, the year I ran for lieutenant governor, the year Ralph Northam won, he won for lieutenant governor against me, but then 3 years later, he ran for governor and won. Well, the guy he ran against for the primary is the person who also gave Andrew McCabe's wife $750,000 when she was running for state senate up in Northern Virginia. $750,000, $250,000. $750,000. And see, when that kind of money is passing hands, again, Andrew McCabe is an FBI agent. You know what he should have said to his wife? He should have said, look, I support your running. I want you to run. But we can't accept $750,000 from a candidate because I'm an FBI agent. You and I can't separate each other from our dealings and our finances. We're all intertwined. And that's going to be seen as a bribe to me. So you can't accept it. You can't. But you know what? They grabbed it hand over fist. Grabbed it hand over fist. And he's got the nerve to be weighing in on what gun policy should be in America. You know, you want to say to this guy, man, go somewhere and get your own act together and leave the rest of us alone. You are the last person we want to be taking advice from. See the unfairness. So this is the third thing. The unfairness with which these people treat the American people is just absolutely staggering. Staggering, folks. Now, here's this guy collecting, who knows how much money others gave him when his wife was running for state senate. He's still an FBI agent, but she's getting big money for a state senate seat, mind you. A state senate seat. You have to wonder, don't you? Were they really helping her or were they really buying him? So he's got the nerve to suggest that somehow we need to alter the context of guns. I mean, it's just a whole lot of nothing. Well, I guess you have to have a whole lot of nothing in your head to be a constant guest. I think he's been a guest on the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel, MSNBC, or the Communist News Network, for that matter, CNN. I mean, you've got to have BBs for brains to be constantly showing up because they don't want people of value and substance. They don't want people of conviction. What they want is to have their viewpoint rubber stamped so they can say, oh, look, Bishop Jackson agreed with us. We brought him on our program, asked him some questions, and he supports us. What they're really interested in doing is damaging, really destroying beyond repair, your reputation, your ability to function. And they don't mind paying their minions, just like this guy McCabe. Remember, he was one of the people, of course, trying to get rid of Trump. I meant to say that if I hadn't said it already. But yeah, he's one of the people trying to get rid of Trump. Trump's the problem, not the FBI, not him, but Trump. I mean, give me a break. Well, this is why you and I are going to have to hold fast to our faith and to hold fast to our convictions, because President Trump can go only so far. And he is then stopped by the limits on federal power and the limits on presidential power. You and I can go all the way. All the way. And we've got to do it. We've got to get involved in every dimension of life in our country in order to redeem it from the clutches of the wicked. And Donald Trump's always been right about this. They're not even primarily out to get him, although they would love that. They love the big prize. But they're out to get you and me and everybody out there who supports this administration, supports this president, and supports a constitutional worldview for our governance. You're dangerous. We might have to do something about you. I mean, it is an unbelievable situation in terms of again, you wonder why their head is not twisted facing behind while they're walking forward, because that's how far off their thinking is. I mean, way, way, way off. But praise God, we're going to continue to walk the narrow way. Jesus said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be who go through it. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. I want to be in that narrow lane. I want to be among the few who find it, not among the many who don't. We're not walking through the wide gate. We're going through the narrow sheepfold gate. And Jesus is the chief shepherd of the sheep. Hallelujah. Praise God. We pastors are merely his under shepherds. He is the good shepherd who has already given his life for the sheep. Okay. So we got the shooting out of the way. I wanted to talk a little bit about abortion. I think I already mentioned TikTok. The president's got a soft spot for it. He said they need to go. I mean, they need to divest of Chinese money, period. And there should be absolutely no compromise on that whatsoever, no matter how many appeals they run. I already mentioned the issue of life, but let me come back to it to say one more thing. There was a pro-life group in Texas. Let's see, what did they do? I think they sat on Attorney General Ken Paxton, who is the Attorney General for Texas. They sat on his, in other words, they protested on his property, and he just basically told them, you know, hey, as long as you don't break the law, no problem. But he also is concerned about this uptick in abortions, because even if one state won't perform it, you don't need a particular state to get a chemically induced destruction of your unborn child. But tell that to the left-wing mob. Shout your abortion, they say. Idiot stood up in Seattle talking about, I think I dropped, I forget how many she said, but in the high single digits, 7, 8, 9, and they were all wonderful. This is such a violation of terms. This is such a travesty. And we can't allow these people to take over our country. I'm looking at a sign right now, and I'm going to get it, be able to put these up on the screen so you can see them. But a pro-life group has taken an axe to the ground, really, to try to get into where these abortions are being unlawfully provided. I mean, they will dig this stuff up and really punish these people, presumably put these people in jail for fraud on the people of Texas. Well, that group, one of their protests in behalf of the enforcement of Texas law and the uncovering of these people who are skirting it, and there are people doing that in large numbers, but they got a big sign saying, abortion takes a human life. That's the issue. It's not reproductive rights, because let's face it, it's not even the right to reproduce, it's the right to not produce or to not reproduce. But this sign simply says abortion takes a human life. I'm glad they threw the word human in there, because if they say abortion takes a life, they say, oh yeah, we know it's a life, but you know, it's not a human being. They say abortion takes a human life, because that's exactly what it is, folks, a human life. And frankly, I don't believe that President Trump is on board with us on this right now. I don't think he's got that depth of conviction. He needs to come to a place where he looks back and says, how could I have been so wicked as to accept the killing of an unborn baby as something normal and healthy and good and right that the government needs to facilitate? What's wrong with me? We need to pray he comes to that revelation. Yeah, we need to pray that he comes to that revelation, and that the entire American people does as well. Because let's face it, that's the issue. Because without life, you don't have any liberty or ability to pursue anything. Okay. What else have we got? Oh, of course, of course, of course, of course. And I'll end this, I'll end it. Congratulations, Mr. Trump, on winning your libel lawsuit against ABC and settling for their paying you $15 million plus $1 million for legal fees. Praise God. Because to accuse a man, to falsely accuse a man of rape, she ought to be criminally prosecuted. Because now, of course, this was a different case, but what Stephanopoulos said was, I was thinking of a different case when I said, you know, it's been exposed, but what Stephanopoulos basically said was that Donald Trump raped a woman. He never did. And I'll just say, as a lawyer, Abraham Hamilton III can back me up on this one, because obviously he's still engaged in practice and I'm not, but the standards for a libel suit versus a criminal court are so different that you can't even put them in the same universe. Because a libel suit does not threaten anybody's liberty. It does potentially threaten their property, but it doesn't threaten their liberty or their life. A criminal case does. A criminal case, you can get imprisoned for up to life, or you can get executed. The standard for a civil suit for libel is a preponderance of the evidence. And folks, a preponderance of the evidence means 51% agree. You can't put somebody in jail for that standard. It's got to be unanimous. And therefore, the outcomes of libel cases can be so far from an expression of what the facts and the truth prove that it's not even funny. And yet here's Stephanopoulos out here saying Donald Trump was found liable for rape. And the fact is, there was some kind of amorphous charge, sexual abuse or something like that. Oh, but this was an adult. But the woman who brought this original case. And what does that even mean? I mean, when it comes to adults. I'm not saying it's not possible for it to happen, but I'm saying, what does that really mean from her perspective? Does that mean he said things that he shouldn't have said? I mean, if he had grabbed her in some sexual way, that would be a sexual assault. That wouldn't be abuse. An unwanted touching is an assault. An unwanted touching in a sexual way is a sexual assault. Not a rape, but it's a sexual assault. Much more serious. He wasn't even accused of that in this case. But some kind of abuse. And Stephanopoulos translated that into rape. I said that would be the last thing. This is going to be the last thing, folks. So I just want to say, look, I have supported and still support President Donald Trump. But I'm saying he can't do it by himself. He is not predisposed in some ways, and he is not capable in others because of the restraints on the federal government. It's going to be up to you and me to redeem this nation back to God and call this nation back to its most fundamental principles. Joe Biden is busy selling materials right now for pennies on the dollar that could be used to build a wall on the southern border. And one of the sheriffs down there said he was talking to people at the White House during the time that Biden was president and trying to get them to understand the border situation, said, and one of the high-level staff at the White House told him, all we care about is getting them across the border, and after that, we don't care what happens. You got Tren de Aragua in Arizona. Some of these folks have just been arrested. You've got robberies, rapes, murders by illegal aliens all across our country. And basically, Biden is taking the materials that could be used to build the barrier. By the way, materials that you and I paid for. Biden didn't pay for them. You and I paid for them. And they'll have to be paid for all over again in President Trump's new administration in order to continue to build that barrier, build that wall. He's not calling it a wall now. He's calling it a barrier. But same thing. What is wrong with these people that they would actually betray the American people financially and from a national security perspective by throwing open the southern border and then sabotaging the ability of the incoming president to create the barrier that will slow down, if not stop, but certainly slow down illegal aliens invading our country? It's being done by a person who doesn't care about the country. He only cares about himself. I've said that many times. He only cares about himself. So he's on his way out, and he's trying to do as much damage as he can on the way. Donald Trump is coming in, and let's believe God that he's going to do some great things and completely reverse all the damage that the Biden administration has done on every level. Look, God bless each and every one of you. I will be back with you, like I said, one more time before the end of the year, just before Christmas. In fact, this program will be on Christmas Day. So if in the morning you're not busy cooking or whatever, opening presents, whatever it is you're going to be doing on Christmas morning, be sure to tune in. I have something important to say about Christmas. In the meantime, it has not changed just because we've gone through a great and victorious election. We still have to do the same thing. We've got to stand up. We've got to step up. We've got to speak up. Isn't that what Donald Trump did? Is that how he got elected? And isn't that what Daniel Penny did when he subdued that man, Jordan Neely, in the subway and potentially saved the lives of all those innocent bystanders who were trying to figure out what they were going to do trapped in that subway with this deranged man? Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.